Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
That's how it worked, although not at Kansas, of course. Every kid from L.A. was dying to watch the sunset over the wheat fields.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
That's really what's going on here. Everybody's kind of watching what happens to the Pac-12, and that will determine how many dominoes kind of drop when it comes to realignment.
And SI's Pat Forty.
You'll end up poisoning the conference. I think if you just say we are more important than you are, but you can't leave, like, you're just setting up for complete ill will.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. We're kind of waiting for the summer to go haywire like the last couple summers with the conference realignment. We couldn't see it coming the last few years. 2 years ago was Oklahoma, Texas.
Yep.
Was that 3 years? Two?
Two, no, that was two.
Years.
Last year, USC, UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
This one you could, I mean, this one's like they know the volcano's going to blow.
Yeah.
There's a 10% chance it doesn't blow. So we as this goes on and on, those of us desperate for content, desperate savages out here in the media waiting for something to blow up. I don't want any more conference realignment. I'd like a nice settle. I'd like a cooling period, but, yeah. You know, probably not going to get my wish. Anyway, Ross, you have a very interesting story out Monday morning on SI.com. The next wave is coming. Expansion realignment. What's at stake for Power 5 conferences? And I know a lot of this came from your trip to the Fiesta Frolic. You
the
apparently,
summit, Dan, the no, summit. They're no, summiting. They frolic. No more frolicking.
They frolicked.
No,
and somehow you managed to scribble down some accurate quotes between the bourbon.
On bar napkins.
In the midst of frolicking.
Yes, the clinking of ice in the bourbon glasses did not distract you. So congrats to the frolickers of anyway, recap this thing. What is the latest? This is a good and comprehensive story here.
Well, it would be nice to have a July that doesn't produce insane news, right? We've had it like 3 years in a row. You go back to 2020. And you had the COVID July, we're going to play football or not. 21 was NIL and then followed by Texas, Oklahoma. And then last year we had USC and UCLA. So this year, I don't know what July will bring, but it'll probably be busy if it won't happen actually earlier, maybe in the month of June this time around. So I think to boil it down, we talked about on the show before, you know, the Pac-12's TV deal in how that might impact everything. And that's really what's going on here. Everybody's kind of watching what happens to the Pac-12, and that will determine how many dominoes kind of drop when it comes to realignment this summer across the country. So the Pac-12 gets a good enough deal and they all stay together and remain intact. You wouldn't think there'd be very many dominoes, right? The Mountain West may lose a team or two. San Diego State may go to the Pac-12. SMU may go to the Pac-12. UNLV or something like that may go to the Big 12. So you'll have some G5s kind of moving up. If the Pac-12's deal isn't strong enough and they lose a couple teams, it could really create, right, a big conference realignment wave in the Power 5 level. And I kind of broke it down. That story broke down all the five Power 5 leagues. So the Pac-12 does lose 2 to 4 more, say the Pac-12 South teams leave for the Big 12, which is, you know, something that's been bantered around for months. But during Big 12 meetings, they kind of put up on a board their expansion, Big 12 expansion targets. And obviously the four Pac-12 were on there, but there were others that I listed in that story. And so the Big 12 is being very aggressive. So from their standpoint, they would they could take some of those Pac-12 schools if the TV deal is not good enough. And then that leaves, you know, the Pac-12 in limbo. You've got Washington, Oregon out there, Stanford and Cal. And, you know, Big Ten, they created a list of potential expansion targets to go along with USC and UCLA last summer. Kevin Warren, I think, wanted to go in and wanted to keep expanding. And I think the Big Ten athletic directors and presidents had no real appetite. But that could change if the Pac-12's kind of dissolves or crumbles or whatever. And you could see the Big Ten then expanding. And then all of that, if the Big Ten does, like, take Washington and Oregon, say, that would get attention of the SEC, right? They would be now two teams behind. And then the ACC that's locked in this deal for 13 more years would probably panic more than it already is. And we had in that story about the seven ACC teams that have kind of coalesced around what they kind of all describe as an untenable situation in trying to find options kind of out, whether that's dissolving the league or whether that's breaking apart and them just leaving to join other league, other conferences, you know, something like that. There's no real easy solution, the ACC. But if they were to challenge the GOR and get out and the Big Ten were to expand and take those other two Pac-12 schools, well, then all of a sudden the SEC door might be open for some of those ACC schools. So it really, really could have a really, really busy summer. If the Pac-12 doesn't get a good enough TV deal, the summer could be a little slower if the Pac-12 gets a good enough TV deal. That's kind of the summary of that story. Everybody's watching that war in the West, the realignment war in the West between the Pac-12 and the Big 12.
Yeah, so that's where, yeah, we're sitting, continuing our candlelight vigil for the Pac-12 media deal, as we have been for many months. And it's got to be coming soon, right? So that's kind of the beginning. That's when that happens, we'll see what else is going to happen or not happen, more or less. The things that jumped out to me, a couple things from the story, which was super interesting. One, that Kevin Warren did want to go get Washington and Oregon during the winter. And I believe the quote in there was that he went to the media partners and said, show me the money, and there wasn't any money. So, you know, there'd been speculation since day one, since the day that USC and UCLA jumped. Were Oregon and Washington going to follow? Did they want to follow? Was there a path for them to follow? And now, for now, there's not, apparently. At least there's just not enough interest slash revenue from the Big Ten side of it. But to Ross's point, yes, how much does that change if suddenly they're on the market and you can get them maybe at a discounted rate or whatever if they're desperate to join a new league? And then do you really want them or not? I would think USC and UCLA would want them. For just ease of having people to schedule and play against out there. But that's TBD. Maybe they don't want any competition on the West Coast.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, I think. Yeah, I think I remember hearing that USC had made it known to the Big Ten that they really wanted only them two, you know, to be added out West just because of recruiting in the LA area, I think. But I don't know really how true that is. You know, one thing, Pat, I'll answer your question. You mentioned about, like, the Pac-12 deal's got to be coming up soon. There is a deadline in a way. I mean, if they want, they obviously, it's pretty much out there, right? San Diego State's AD has said publicly a lot of it, but I mean, that deal seems to be done with San Diego State and the Pac-12. San Diego State has they would owe around $16, $17 million to the Mountain West in an exit fee. That exit fee triples to about $45 million on July 1 if they don't, you know, if they don't give them notice before July 1, it triples. So that's kind of the deadline. So we got a roughly 6 weeks or so for the Pac-12 to kind of make that decision because they want to strike a new TV deal at the same time as adding San Diego State and maybe others. I didn't get into it in that story because I don't know how much people really care about, like, you know, a lot of the Group of Five movement, but I don't think the Mountain West, if they lose just one school, will expand again. I think if they lose more than one, you might see the Mountain West show interest in some Texas Group of Five schools, maybe even some that are in the American. Wouldn't surprise me. North Texas, UTSA, you know, So there'll be a ripple effect, obviously, down in the G5.
Yeah. And my one other takeaway, and I'll let Dan talk here, but was UConn being mentioned as a Big 12 possibility.
Yeah.
If UConn did that, they would be compounding their own stupidity from when they decided before to make football a bigger priority in terms of conference affiliation and nearly wrecked the entire athletic department. They finally get back to the Big East in basketball, their sweet spot, where it is clearly a great fit and working. And now you want to go talk to the Big 12 and go start playing in Lubbock? I mean, if they did that, it would be the dumbest thing in the history of college athletics.
I would disband UConn football before I did that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A reminder about money, because when I was working on that story, I was making calls on like the UConn situation, which is very real. Like Brett Yormark is definitely eyeing them. They were definitely on the board there in Phoenix. It's something that's been going on for a few months, I think. I think UConn pulls in $5 million a year in distribution, and they'd be gaining around $30 million if they made the move.
And ruining their athletic department again in the process. Yeah.
So. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they do it. It's an interesting. So you had a couple things. The Big 12 wants Colorado, Arizona State, and Utah. That's what they want. Other targets: San Diego State and UNLV, UConn, and Memphis, and then Colorado State, SMU, and Fresno are raising their hands, but are not. UConn, I don't know. I mean, you've got this great thing. I mean, was it five titles now? Five men's basketball titles in the last 22 years?
25 years or something, right?
Or 1999, 25 years. You make more money, but look at Boston College.
Don't make a football decision at a basketball school. What are you going to get out of it from a football standpoint? What do you get? You get to get your teeth kicked in Texas instead of in the Northeast. Congratulations.
Yeah, and the Big 12 is not – Oklahoma's going to show up in East Hartford. It's a bunch of teams that there's a lot of good teams in the Big 12, but if you're a fan, football fans in New England do not care.
No.
They're not going to be like, oh my God, we got Iowa State coming this weekend. Like, we got to get down there. They just watch the Patriots and the Giants, and it's just what it is. That one was fascinating though, and I don't know. I mean, the basketball would be good, but you're not. They're dominating when they are seen as a Northeast team.
Yeah,
they've got to be in and around New York City. I wouldn't do it, but money talks. We'll see if it even gets to that. A couple things I just wish we could get the playoff going for a couple of years and everyone could see that see how, I just wish this could get tabled and we play the 2 years of the expanded playoff with the six automatic bids. And then it's a reevaluation. I feel like all of this is getting pushed to the point where, the landscape will change, but we're going to make these moves before the landscape change. And then there's the concern of, if some of this blow up, do they keep six automatic bids? Do they lower it?
Right.
Can they? They probably can, but man, there might be some lawsuits. It's like, it's hard to take stuff away.
Oh, there'd be some angry group of five commissioners. Yeah.
Yeah. And even whatever's left.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden Boise State goes 13-0 and the Big 12 champs out of that. Now maybe they get in somewhere else. I don't know. It's just, I just wish we could at least table this. I understand it goes on and on, but I mean, the idea that this is about, a few million dollars here or there, I don't know that you don't make all that money up, particularly these Pac-12 schools that don't sell out and have these huge, there's only Utah and Oregon, kind of Washington, that are really like maxing out what, like the fan interest and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of money to be made in other spots than just media rights. This all-encompassing jump for the guaranteed TV money, it won't make your team more exciting. It's not good for your, like, if you're just a fan of the team, it's just not better.
Well, and I think the thinking is it would make you more competitive, but not really. If you're going to a stronger conference, in a way, it makes it less competitive that you reach the playoffs sometimes.
Sure. Exactly. To Dan's point, I think USC and UCLA could have been sitting in pretty good spots in the Pac-12, and now you're going to go and see if you're the sixth or seventh or whatever best team in the Big Ten, and the sixth or seventh place team in the Big Ten is not going to the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, you got Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State laying there. They aren't going anywhere.
No. Wisconsin's going to get better again with Luke Fickell.
Just those three. They don't move.
No.
I mean, everyone's all over Jim. I mean, Michigan had a couple bad years there, but, I mean, one of the most high-profile scandals and crushing NCAA sanctions ever. And what did Penn State get to, like, 7-5, like, and then they're back 10-2. Like, 10-2 is bad for those schools. It's really hard to just jump over them. So it's like, okay, if we're gonna have a playoff, and I got, you know, how many teams we taking for the Big Ten? Am I gonna get in that top three? Maybe, but it's not gonna be easy. And you know, football in the Northeast, we're talking about UConn, but you know, I mean, you're looking at this, what's the issue with the ACC? Well, all these teams that they used to have successful programs and exciting programs at times, Syracuse, Boston College, UConn wasn't even that bad. Pitt, Rutgers. You could have really exciting, fun things. West Virginia. It's pretty hard to be any good. You know, yep. They have moments, but that's it. Maybe fleeting moments. It's not really sustainable. And it's like the athletic department's making more money, though. And that's not really helping. If I'm just a fan of the team and you just sit there and you're in those schools and you go, oh, hell, I'll just root for the NFL.
Right.
And if you're out west, you know, to me, something like you're Arizona State, you're trying to get something going.
Mm-hmm.
And you jump on, I don't know. It's so risky, and I don't know that it creates that interest. And that's you go back, UConn basketball, right? They chase it. I mean, nothing changed for UConn. They're still sitting there, right? Same school, same tradition. All of a sudden, no one's going to the games. Nobody cares. They're not as good. And then they get back in the Big East, and now they're winning national titles, and everyone's fired up. Villanova's coming. Huge game. It's just not the same when Houston's coming, even if Houston's better than Villanova that year. So, so much risk and so much. What are we trying to do here? It's provide marketing for your school, right? Okay. You know, UConn's not drawing students from all, you know, from Arizona or wherever, Texas. Like, there's not tons of kids in Texas going, I want to go to UConn. Much better off being in Philly and New York. Entertainment for your student body and all that. Again, is it as exciting? Is it this? Is there those rivalries? You're creating local media buzz. It's just, there's so many other things other than TV revenue. And it's just kind of unfortunate that that's just become everything here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, but obviously I don't know how that changes. You had this line in here, $200 million is what the Big Ten needed to make sense to add Washington and Oregon, and it wasn't there.
No. They thought they would get it from streamers or maybe another, like a package at ESPN, because, of course, they didn't sign on with ESPN. And so there was a thought that they might get it, and it never really came. I think university presidents were – wanting to make sure their schools were going to remain whole if they did further expansion. And that wasn't going to be the case unless they got that at least $200 million. I was told it could have been up to $250 or $300 that they needed really to all remain whole. Didn't get it from a streamer. But that doesn't mean it's completely dead, you know, depending on what happens out west. You know, I don't know that ESPN – given the situation there is really involved any more than that. But, and somebody suggested this to me, I think I wrote it like a little bit there in there, but Fox, they're already given a lot. They have like whatever, 65% of the package, the broadcasting package, but, could they give more, for them to expand? I don't know. I did have somebody tell me I didn't write this in there, but Fox doesn't want to be responsible for blowing up the Pac-12, is what somebody mentioned. So if they were to give extra money to expand,
well, they just wanted to shoot them in the kneecap. They didn't want to.
Yeah, no, they already kind of. Yes.
They've at least separated a couple limbs. If they
I guess killing is another thing for them. You know. Mm-hmm. Completely killing off. So, but one thing I wanted to mention that it probably could have been a separate story, and there was the situation at the ACC, right? It's just really, it's just really, they're about a couple hours away. We're taping at 10 a.m. on Monday. ACC athletic directors and university presidents meet this week in Amelia Island. They're a couple hours from, I think, starting their meeting, and it should be interesting. Could be a little tense at time and maybe awkward because, they've made it pretty public. I think the athletic directors at Clemson and Florida State have both made it public that they're frustrated in the revenue gap, the growing revenue gap in this deal they're stuck in till 2036. And they'd like at least an unequal revenue distribution model that is based off of merit, you know, in performance. And I don't think they're going to vote on that this week. There's proposals they'll probably examine. I think they'll eventually get it done and do it because if not, you know, those schools are, it's just pretty frustrated, you know. And as I wrote in there, you know, there's seven of the schools, so half of the ACC, have kind of coalesced over the last few months to examine the grant of rights to see if there is a way for them to dissolve a league. You know, is there a possibility to dissolve the league? And then they break away and whether it's form their own association, which seems really difficult, or join another league. The problem with all this is I don't know if they do any of those options, if it's really that much more lucrative of any deal they have now, except for, you know, joining the SEC or Big Ten. So they need those doors to open, you'd think.
We've talked about, like, there's only so many games people are going to watch.
Yeah.
And there's only so many good games. Like, all right, like, the Big Ten will have, right, they have Fox, NBC.
CBS.
And CBS. All three, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, they have all three. Mm-hmm. Next season. It's like, I'll pick a week. November 11th. This is the slate. Rutgers, Iowa. Nope. Michigan State, Ohio State. Probably not. You're going to get your Ohio State fans, right?
People will watch that because they would watch Ohio State, you know.
Okay. They will watch every Ohio State game. Maybe it's a good game. Maybe it isn't. But like what? Michigan, Penn State. Absolutely. Big game.
Huge, huge number.
Minnesota, Purdue. Indiana, Illinois. Northwestern, Wisconsin. Maryland, Nebraska. You got to find three games there that are going to hold, that can carry and stand up to what the SEC's throwing up against. I mean, yeah, there's Big Ten fans, and yeah, these schools have fans, so there's a basement. But if you're the average fan, there's only one game there that you're like, yeah, I'll probably watch that game. And that's the guy that bounced around. But you put, I don't know, what's the third best game there? I don't know.
Was it
Rutgers?
I mean, Iowa. Maybe was it? Who was Minnesota playing? Purdue.
Purdue.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. So maybe that. I mean, but then it's up against Tennessee and you know whatever Alabama. Right. I don't know what the SEC won. Right. There's just only so much to watch, and so you sit there and go, "Well, yeah, I need $200 million more dollars," and you go, "Well, that's not there." To me, the only way the Big Ten look, I'm not saying they won't take Oregon and Washington and see the asset there, especially if they can get them on the cheap,
yeah,
which would just be brutal for those schools.
Right.
To me, it's Notre Dame and Stanford or something like it's Notre Dame and whoever Notre Dame says somebody. Is coming with
right.
us.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's a chance they say we want Stanford. Mm-hmm. Or so, you know, like that's our partner.
Yeah.
But it's Notre Dame is the only one that you start throwing in there, because then it's all of a sudden Notre Dame versus Indiana. Okay. Notre Dame's playing. Right. Yeah. There's enough fans. But even when you add USC and UCLA, you're going to add a few games, definitely. But, you know, how many that really add that spark? And because you can just sit there and go, oh, I'll just add more teams. How many people want to watch? Why, you know, and again, you're not going to, everyone can't be have 10 wins then.
No,
you know,
absolutely not.
So these teams, you're, you know, is UCLA going to have 10 wins in the Big Ten? Oh. You know, and if they're 6-6 and no one's showing up at the Rose Bowl, I don't know. This is this sport is a lot better with more conferences than fewer.
Yes,
but I feel like this, it's like the administrative pull. We need the cash. And guaranteed cash only is going to lead us to fewer.
Well, and yeah, I think this goes to presidential oversight as much as anything of can any presidents tell their athletic directors and their football coaches no, in a lot of different respects. All over the place. But conference alignment, I think, is part of that too, of let's, like what you said, let's wait and see how this all works out with a 12-team playoff. We don't have to rush into, but the money. Let's wait and see where the money goes when there's this sudden new revenue geyser coming into the sport and how it affects people and how it affects having 12 spots to get into a playoff instead of four, and what that means for our teams and our conference. And so you've got presidents who don't say no, you've got leagues that don't care about each other, and so you've just got this constant like dive for this pile of cash here, and that goes, I think, to the ACC situation. First of all, let me throw this out there. Who are the seven ACC schools?
Yeah, well, you got, obviously you have Clemson and Florida State, Miami, North Carolina,
yep.
North Carolina State, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. I didn't list them all in the story for various reasons, but those are the believed to be the few. I think that there's an obvious, you know, four there.
Virginia Tech are clinging.
Yeah,
stage five clingers there.
I think there's a thought when you
we're in the club, right?
Throw in, well, you need seven. You got to have half, and really, they think they got to have more than half. Which again, I didn't write this in the story, but you know, and they may need Notre Dame to get to eight, which is we the majority of the kind of the 15. But again, nobody really knows exactly. But those are the. Those are kind of the seven. So you need to get to seven. And obviously the belief is Virginia is a pretty – the state of Virginia, but UVA, I guess, specifically, is a pretty enticing new state for the SEC in maybe the Big Ten, just like North Carolina as well.
Yeah, that's the thing there. I think North Carolina and Virginia would be very attractive commodities on the open market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they are in, they want to get on board with this push for uneven revenue distribution. But if I were them, I'd just wait and say, well, eventually we're going to have our choice of where we want to go.
This actually leads us into a conversation we're having just off the air. Before we started, but you know, Notre Dame's apparel deal is up, and they'll be maybe re-signing with Under Armour, or maybe going a different route. It'll probably happen over the next month or two. They've been with Under Armour 10 years, and in that story, I wrote that arguably Notre Dame was the biggest brand in college sports. A lot of people took issue to that. There's a reason I put arguably in there, because you can argue it that Notre Dame is the number one brand. But I think of teams outside of the SEC and Big Ten of brands, Notre Dame would obviously, I think, be number one outside of those two leagues. And I think North Carolina, maybe the surprise of some, would probably be number two. you know, as far as the biggest brands that those conferences would be interested in. You know, Clemson just, I don't know that it has the history, especially in other sports. I don't know that it has the hit. I mean, it, you know, it's got a great coach and it's on a great run. Sure. And then Florida State, again, they've really struggled lately, but they are a big brand. They would be up there. But there's an argument to be made that North Carolina is number two behind Notre Dame of valuable brands outside of the SEC.
For apparel?
And Big Ten.
For apparel?
No. I'm just talking about in
for
general.
Everything?
Yeah, not just apparel.
Conference membership.
Membership.
I think Clemson football. Carolina, though, is big. It's got a big fan base. Mm-hmm. Apparel, I mean, the other schools do not have Michael Jordan attend the school. They also don't have Carolina blue. That color is, you know, you're not sitting there trying to sell garnet and gold. or, you know, and it's like when you're at Clemson, it's like, oh, this orange just makes total sense. You wear that thing like, you know, downtown Chicago and people are like, why are you wearing those shoes, man? Like, what? Carolina blue, though, and the power of Michael Jordan all these years later, still there. And the number of fans that people who are Carolina fans because of Michael Jordan, even when they weren't fans when Michael Jordan was there, you know,
absolutely
6'6" from North Carolina.
It's interesting. It was digging in some history for that story about the SEC's flirtation with ACC schools and just historically. I think it was in 1990 when they voted to expand and they had a bunch of expansion targets. I think it was South Carolina and Arkansas, who they eventually settled on. But they had Texas and Texas A&M. They had Florida State and Miami. And there might have been one more in there. Or maybe that was it. And I think they really wanted to go into Texas, but Texas or A&M didn't want to come. I don't remember exactly the situation, but it didn't work out. And then they approached Florida State and Miami, you know, and I think that was more of like a preference to, and they didn't want to come. And I think Bobby Bowden went kind of on the record and has maybe multiple times saying basically the Florida State administration turned the invitation down, because for competitive reasons, thinking that, just what Dan was talking about, right? Let's wait and see this expanded CFP happen, to see kind of what, because you'll be in a better position, maybe, to make the CFP. I think Bobby Bowden and the Florida State administration knew that they would be a less competitive position in the SEC if they had gone. Of course, now, right, some at Florida State are thinking that they made a bad decision there in hindsight 30 years later, as they're in this sticky situation with the ACC contract. But it's interesting. What I was getting at is that it's interesting during that 1999 SEC expansion that Clemson nor North Carolina were in the list, you know. That surprised me a little bit, because Clemson does, gosh, you know, it is as SEC as any school, right, I've ever visited. I mean, the campus, the whole, everything about it, the way the people talk. I mean, everything.
SEC.
Yeah, everything about it, you know.
North Carolina is not.
No, you're right.
No.
You're
no.
In Big Ten,
and a generation
probably.
Ago, you had no chance. Like, the idea of, hey, we're just going to pluck Carolina and they're going to leave NC State, Wake, and Duke behind.
Yeah.
Hell no. Basketball was too big of a deal back then.
Yeah.
Right. That whole concept would be like, yeah, we're just going to get Michigan to lead the Big Ten.
Right.
Like, why are we even putting them on the list? They ain't leaving.
Exactly.
Right. They ain't leaving. So there's that. That's just how that felt back then. The idea that Carolina would leave Duke's side. And NC State's, and they had the greatest thing going in basketball.
Sure.
So, there's a different mindset. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah. I wanted to go back and revisit with this ACC meeting starting today. And if these schools are really going to push for an uneven revenue distribution, the problems with it are these to me. One, you'll end up poisoning the conference. I think if you just say we are more important than you are, but you can't leave. Like, you're just setting up for complete ill will, acrimony, and nobody trusting each other. Maybe they already don't trust each other, but I think it really poisons the conference in a situation where you're stuck together, barring something crazy. The other thing, if you are of the seven that are getting told what to do, so to speak, why do you go along with this? Because A, is it really going to, if you give Clemson and Florida State and Miami more money, is it going to keep them in the league? No. Only the grant of rights is going to keep them in the league. It's not going to say make them say, oh, okay, we're here, we're good forever, we're perfectly fine, we're satisfied now, because it's not going to close the gap.
No.
So to me, this is, like, I would love to be in the room and just hear, is this just, you know, stomping your foot for the, because you can? Because where is this going to go? I don't see this going anywhere that helps anyone in that league.
No, and like I wrote in there, you know, the most, if you had an incredibly amazing athletic year, and probably academic year too, as far as your student athletes, you'd maybe get $4 to $5 million extra a year when the gap is, at least in 3 or 4 years, projected to be $30 million. So that's not closing the gap, right? And one, it was a sitting Power Five AD that told me this, not in the ACC, but he said, you know, this would, if they do that, it will be the beginning of the end for the conference. Of course, I was thinking, like, we're already reached the beginning of the end. Maybe it would be middle of the end, but we've already reached the beginning of the end there. So I think it would be to appease those schools, specifically Clemson and Florida State, but ultimately maybe appease them for a couple more years. But ultimately, I can't see them staying in that league if the TV money doesn't change, and it's not like ESPN's throwing around dollars.
How in the world, if you're Pitt, it's been good, Boston College, Syracuse, these, whatever the other seven, Wake, and it comes out that you're taking half the money. How do you even recruit?
Yeah.
Right. We're kind of in the league, but we're like the...
Yeah. We're in the minor league part of the league.
Here's the route I continue to wonder. So there is ways they can get money. One, they can hit their students up, which I'm not in favor of, but you can hit your students up. We talked last week about a lot of these kids are going to Clemson because the football team got really good. So you can hit your students up to try to make up some of this revenue. The other is the state government. And I know this sounds bizarre, but Clemson football, Florida State football are huge economic engines in those areas of the state. The Tennessee Titans just got $1.2 billion to build a new football stadium. $1.2 billion. What if you go to Clemson with its political might, goes to the state of South Carolina? I mean, this would be some petty, incredible fight. But if you legitimately go to the state of South Carolina and say, look, man, Clemson is big business. Clemson football is big business in this state that, quite honestly, this isn't New York City or California. There isn't a whole lot of big business. This area of the state, a lot of things happen. And it trickles down to the everyday person, you know, that rents their home to an Airbnb during football weekends, or they own the gas station and they're selling, you know, extra beers and all the parking. And say, look, man, we need $25 million from the state of South Carolina to make the gap up here. Now, they're sitting there going to Congress and spending all this money on lobbyists trying to get this or that. I don't know. This runs counter to everything I kind of would approve of. Yeah. But I could see the argument, at least, where you're like, look, we're in this situation. We can't get the money. We need to be competitive. This is big business. Why not throw $25 million for a state is nothing.
In the University of South Carolina, what would their response be?
Well, which has probably more than half the legislature.
Yeah, better to throw in some cash for us too, legislature.
I get that, and I do. And it would be probably part of that. Yeah, and then they'd have to throw some money at the other schools. But a football thing. But when you are ideally a government, look, if I represent one part of the state, and they're gonna build some big factory in another part of the state, it's not gonna help my jobs. It's not gonna help. Like, you have to compromise. You have to look at the pot. I mean, I get it. This is ridiculous, and this is college football. But I mean, presumably somebody went to South Carolina is like, yeah, you know what? It's good for our state if however, tens of millions of dollars is. They, again, $1.2 billion for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
The NFL teams just, the NFL just writes their, how much, you know, Buffalo Bills got $800 million. Most people in the state of New York do not live in Buffalo and they're not Bills fans. But they go, oh, this is what this costs of doing business. We need an NFL team in Buffalo because it's important to Buffalo. So they get these things done. I don't know. I'm just saying that's to me, I mean, this is insane. I'd much prefer someone said, let's take $25 million and give some engineering scholarships out.
Yeah. Or but, like help fund free lunches or whatever.
Yeah.
Public elementary schools, you know.
But sports is big business. And if we're if you throw in $1.2 billion at an NFL owner who's already a billionaire, can you throw something to a
The student fees is interesting you raise because, you know, obviously group of five, a lot of group of fives have, right, have that. They rely on their
even power fives
in their student. Yeah, yeah, some of them do. But I was doing the numbers, like, you know, Clemson has an enrollment around 24,000 students. So in order to really get a significant amount, each student would have to
pay $24 million, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think they're going to get a grant out of kids, nor
yeah, no. No, I was thinking like you got at least do $400 a year, you know, to have some kind of like, hey, there's $8 to $10 million, something like that.
Coach Sweeney throw that pizza party, though.
Yeah.
We'll have a pizza party, free pizza down the stadium when we make the playoff.
Interesting. I just Googled, does Clemson have a student athletic fee? And I got a story from 2014 saying they were talking about it, considering it. Be about $350 a year per student would raise about $6 million. $6 million ain't gonna make it though. We ain't gonna keep up with the SEC.
Nope. I don't know, man. Something's got to happen. there is a lot of business. You can make an economic impact argument, and I'm thinking this stuff through, you know, kind of off the top of my head. Although I think I've mentioned it before that if I'm in that area, I'm representing Clemson and Anderson and those hotels and all that stuff up there. You can be like, hey, this is worth it to keep us competitive. You know, I don't. I mean, how much money is Nick Saban brought into state of Alabama?
No doubt about it.
And if you get good, what is it worth? What's the value? They give the pro sports anything they want. And what can you do with college sports? All right. Yeah. We kind of mentioned the Notre Dame deal and how angry people got.
Yeah.
At Ross's assertion, they were the biggest brand. What should Notre Dame do? Nike, Adidas? Does it matter? Does it matter that much? Does it not? Is it the money? Is it the recruiting? It used to be a bigger deal because before NIL, the sneaker companies, you know, the open secret in recruiting was they paid for they sponsored your team and then they backfilled your roster to protect their investment.
They victimized Kansas, Dan. That's the exception.
Other than Kansas, mm-hmm. Yes, they victimized. No, they give you $100 million and say, we need you to be good. They didn't just sit there because they're not freaking morons and go, hope they're good. They said, oh, well, let's send another $5 million to activate this sponsorship or whatever it was. It wasn't even $5 million. And that's how you got Brian Bowen to go to, right? That's how it worked, although not at Kansas, of course. Every kid from LA was dying to watch the sunset over the wheat fields and just loved that rock chalk statement and had nothing to do with Adidas. Every kid from Dallas was just like, I want to go to rural. Other than Kansas, everyone else had to. Now, maybe it's a little less of a big thing. But at the same time, what do you see on every recruiting visit? These guys get in their uniform. Like they're all in the pictures. They all dress up in the uniform, right? So you better have some good stuff. Yep. You want that Jordan brand wall. You want the whole thing. So I don't know. How big is this for Notre Dame?
I would assume You know, I don't think Notre Dame's ever been with Nike, right? They've been with multiple Adidas, other people.
Adidas, and Champs. Adidas, yeah. It was Adidas and Champs and then Under Armour.
Yeah. Champs. It's kind of seems like an inevitable marriage of giant brand and giant brand, but it's good to be Notre Dame in these situations. And yes, I know Ross's story sparked furious debate about, oh, they're not the biggest brand. Well, they do have their own NBC contract for a reason. And as we were talking about before we went on the air, when Notre Dame signs a contract to play your school gets very excited, no matter which school that is. Georgia, which is a big damn brand, was thrilled to have Notre Dame come play between the hedges and sent
20,000
of their fans to Chicago and then to South Bend for that weekend to say they went to Notre Dame. And that's the way it is nationwide when Notre Dame says we'll play you. So Notre Dame is, to me, still the biggest brand. People don't like it. That's the way it goes.
Record ticket prices every time.
Nike and Adidas, you know, the two top apparel brands in the industry. Under Armour was up there, and they're starting to slowly kind of cut back. They've had issues with stock and sales in general, really even before COVID, but then COVID really impacted them. So I'll go through the top apparel deals, which you can make an argument that these are the top brands in college sports, but here they are from 1 through 10, basically. Texas, number one, which is with Nike. Actually, there's like, it's a, like 1 and 1A, which 1A is going to be really surprising, but it's Louisville. And I'm, you know, that obviously has to do with basketball. I know. It's with Louisville, is with Adidas. And it's a lot to do with basketball, obviously. And
another victim.
Yeah, another victim. Absolutely.
And then Kansas, right, is with Adidas behind them. Ohio State with Nike. Nebraska, Adidas. Washington, actually, is up there in like the top seven. Adidas. Michigan, Nike. Auburn, Under Armour. Wisconsin, Under Armour. And then Notre Dame was right in the middle of all that. So those are the top. And almost all of them, like I said, except those last two, are with Nike or Adidas. So I'd expect Nike and Adidas to
But that's the amount they're paying right now. Because, I mean, look, Michigan is a bigger deal than Kansas. Sorry.
The annual average of their contract, which is between, you know, $7 million a year and $12 million a year.
Right.
They're really close. Some of these are very close.
Ohio State would sell $12 million in T-shirts. We go to the damps down there. It's like, I mean, how many?
Well, they're all wearing the jerseys. Every male at an Ohio Stadium game is wearing a jersey. And everybody. Plenty of females, too. Yeah.
And plenty just wandering around Columbus.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we will see.
Ohio State wins my award as the jersey wearingest fan base.
I would it is a scene there, man. I love that. Mm-hmm. All right. Interesting story here. The legend of Stetson Bennett IV, the law firm, grows. If you recall, Stetson, our hero, two-time national championship quarterback, he's 25 years old. And he's been attending. He graduated from he entered Georgia in the fall of 2017, the University of Georgia. Fall of 2017. And apparently, according to this story in the Columbus Dispatch and social media users who figured this out, he still hasn't graduated from Georgia. Stetson Bennett spent six years in college and did not graduate. Now, this is apparently the school has confirmed this to the Columbus Dispatch, or they didn't respond. He is, according to his the website, he's a learning design and technology major in the Mary Frances Early College of Education. He rolled into fall of 2017 at Georgia. He then went to Jones College for a little while at JUCO. He then returned to the Bulldogs in 2019, and then was there in 20, 21, 22. So he should have finished 6 full years of college. He's 25 years old. There would be AP classes maybe in high school. You can sometimes knock off a few credits. Is this his greatest accomplishment, Pat, that he sometime remained eligible for 6 years, got into Georgia twice, and somehow didn't manage to graduate with what seems to be a very difficult degree in learning design and technology in the early college of education?
I will say, like, you hear about these dudes, like Clemson had a 3-year degree program. Guys were graduating in 3 years. Stetson's gone double that without getting any. Yeah.
I mean, they stick around in the summer.
Oh, yeah. No, tutors. They're around. My son started at Georgia the year before Stetson and left a year before. 6 years. 4 of them undergrad, got a degree there. 2 masters, got 2 degrees there in basically in the time that Stetson got none. So congratulations to Stetson. I think he probably did most of his best work in the square in downtown Athens, where all the bars are. You know, that's where that was his true major. He majored in being Stetson Bennett the last couple years, mm-hmm. at least. And I take my hat off to him.
Cardale Jones, our true teller from Ohio State, who famously said, "I'm not here to play school." He jumped the story, tweeting, "Buddy definitely wasn't playing school."
Oh, Cardale's funny.
Cardale Jones, who now runs an Ohio State collective, by the way. So he's making sure that that those players don't have to play school.
Yeah. So according to the story I'm reading, the Columbus Dispatch, which I guess just wanted to write a story picking on Georgia. even our guys to stick around 6 years. Like, I mean, come on, man. Don't take the moral superiority of Buckeye football.
I mean, it's the offseason. You can complain about the refs from the game against Georgia, or you can make fun of Stetson Bennett. One of the two. Take your choice.
Now, the spring, he seemed to be in Dallas getting drunk. So he didn't, I guess he wasn't finishing anything up, but I still don't know how you don't graduate in 6 years with all of the support of
did he change majors like every year? I mean, I would like to know. Did he have, you know,
learning design and technology? I mean, yeah, whatever. Stetson's going to be fine. He's going to be a senator one day. He's going to, you know, run the car dealer, whatever he's going to do. He's also currently on the Rams. So, yeah. I tip my hat to any guy that can spend 6 years at a place and just never really filled the requirements. Good. It's pretty good stuff. All right. And then this story here I wanted to get to. My buddy Matt Vitor pointed this one out to me. Great sports columnist at masslive.com. A Boston man ordered... this guy, Akeem Lahrens, he goes into the Dunkin' Donuts. It's a very Boston story on Dorchester Ave, on Dodd Ave there, 1508 Dodd Ave, and ends up getting arrested for armed robbery and kidnapping. He pulled 2 large knives out of his backpack, jumped the counter, pulled 2 knives out, demanded the employees open the cash register. All this stuff. So they end up Boston PD doing a good job. They catch this guy, I guess. He's innocent until proven. He has the, you know, presumption of innocence, but seems mm-hmm. like there's a lot of things. Here's the issue. Before jumping the counter at the Dunkin' Donuts and threatening to kill the workers there, the innocent workers with the 2 knives, he went up to the counter and ordered food. Boston man ordered food from a Dorchester Dunkin' last week before threatening to kill the employees. And then it said he ordered a sandwich and a drink. So here's my question. 2-part. 1, how rude is it to order the food, make a guy make you a sandwich before pulling a knife and threatening to kill him? And B, what is the proper order if you're going to go down that route?
Well, I would say that, no, it's not rude. It's, look, if you're, you work up an appetite knocking off a Dunkin' Donuts, right? I mean, you guys got to eat. Guy's got to eat. He needs to get a little fuel in there to finish off the heist. So I see no rudeness involved here. I see savvy actually planning of this situation. You know, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get myself a little meal, and then I'm going to knock him off, and I'm going to threaten to kill him and take their money. Did he kidnap anybody? Did he take somebody with him?
I think I think it's kidnapping if they can't leave. Like, I don't think he...
Oh.
Gotcha.
Did he go? Did he grab the order? Do what?
Pat? Did he bring the meal with him? Well, there's the reporting could be better. I want to know what he ordered.
Yeah, I do too. What did he order and when did he get it? Yeah. I'm not like,
if I go to it, then go back, you're like, look, I might get arrested here.
If he went and sat in a corner and ate and then was like, all right, time to go. Go time.
Right. Dab your corners of your mouth with your napkin, then pull out the knives and go get them. But the other, I don't know. I only go to Dunkin' Donuts for shockingly donuts. So I don't know what else there is to get there in terms of like a sandwich, like a sausage croissant or something.
Yeah, they got the sausage, egg, and cheese. They got the bacon, egg, and cheese, you know, on a bagel. You got some different things there. I don't know what I think you'd want something hearty because you might be arrested and you're eating prison food for a long time.
Exactly. That's going to be your last meal before you're going into the lockdown.
We had those Porter guys big. Break out of that jail and go to IHOP.
Yeah, we did.
It's pretty similar.
Didn't they tunnel? Like
yeah, they tunneled out. Yeah, it took like weeks.
All that time. And then they went to IHOP.
Yeah.
Then they went say to criminals IHOP. Are idiots. And boy, that story really proves it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I wonder, did he get there and was like, okay, I'm going to knock off this Dunkin' Donut, but then he got there and it smelled good.
Maybe.
It's like, maybe a turkey sausage, egg, and cheese.
It's like, you know, he's got them where he wants them. Might as well eat first.
Poor guy. I think it's highly rude. I think it's rude.
Ah.
Good, I mean, have some respect. You're gonna throw a knife at me and threaten to kill me. I don't want to be making you any sandwiches before. Extra charge for him.
Extra
rudeness.
Charge.
Customer rudeness.
So yeah, put him in jail and charge him for the sandwich and
oh, absolutely. Yes. I think there should be something there on that. All right. Finally, ongoing saga of the two Lake Erie. Cheating fishermen that tried to put weights. They didn't try. They did. They stuffed weights into their fish fillets at the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Fishing Tournament last September. We obviously were all over this.
Oh, yeah. This is wheelhouse
Jacob
topic.
Runyon, Chase Kaminsky. They pled guilty. I mean, what else are we going to do? There's weights in the fish. Anybody yelled? They were sentenced. This weekend, each will serve 10 days in jail and they receive 6 months of probation. They each have to pay a $2,500 fine and they had to forfeit their boat.
Yeah, that's a big hit.
And
there.
Trailer to the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. So some state employees whirling around in their boat. Fair punishment, Pat?
Yeah, I think because that does hit them where it hurts there. I mean, you take away the boat, you've taken away your competitive livelihood. So if you're going to cheat, if you're stuffing the weights in the fish, you go get them and you get them hard. 10 days in the lockup ain't a lot of fun either, but losing the boat's the big hit there. And they say, yeah, this is an expensive boat too. I mean, those things are not cheap. So that's an adequate punishment in my view. Also, very quickly, I found out during the NCAA tournament that the University of Missouri had a basketball player, Noah Carter, whose dad was on the pro walleye fishing circuit in Ohio. I wanted to ask him about whether he knew about these cheaters, but I never got around to it.
Thanks for telling us you suck at your job. What? That's the kind of... what were you doing?
As a matter of fact, you know what I was doing at that point in time was chasing around Alabama because of Brandon Miller playing uninhibited. So Noah Carter confirmed that his dad is a pro walleye fisherman and said that he himself is an avid fisherman. That's as far as we got.
All right. We're going to work on that. Get to work on that.
I will.
Ross, fair punishment?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with Pat. The boat is a significant punishment. I'm reading, I was reading the story of their sentencing. I don't even know. This is from, I don't even know what this is. I'm even scared to say, like, this site, because I don't know what it is, but I don't know how. I just Googled, and this
it's
is
not the Daily Mail or something reputable like that. Is that what you're saying?
But the throughout this entire story, they're making awful like fish puns throughout the story.
Yeah.
Like, and they're terrible. I mean, they're just terrible. So
two fishermen on the hook.
The two weren't made to walk the plankton for their cheating. A file
What did they say?
It said the two were not made to walk the plankton for their cheating. And then another line reads, in the fish eel report. It just just really bad.
Scales
just really
of
bad
justice.
But yeah. But yes, I agree. I agree with the weights in or with the punishments. I'm starting to see too. I think I've never seen pictures of the actual weights that came out of these fish. And man, what a system they created there.
Yeah, well, hope they learn their lesson. They're 10 days in jail, trying to cheating the fish, and now they got no boat. And I don't think anyone's letting them enter any tournaments anytime soon.
No,
that had to be a punishment too, right? They're banned from all like official fishing tournaments, I would think.
It's not like this isn't like the walleye fishing tournament. This isn't like the NCAA thing where they just let everything go, slap on the wrist.
Yeah, could they file a mental health waiver? You know, you know what? My mental health was shaky, and that's why I decided to cheat everyone else. Please let me re-enter the tournament.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, that's our show. We'll be back later this week. Continue to share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. Subscribe, and we will talk to you later.